mentor?
Yeah, he's my mentor, and mm-hmm. he's really like a brother to me. Like my older sister when I lost her. I needed her all these years, you know. But he came into the rescue and just guided me since then.
Mm-hmm.
So we all need somebody to look up to, you know, guidance. You know, that's what I found.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like within the next year, you think? I say about
give me about 3 months.
Three months. And it's did you find a publisher yet?
I'm gonna do it myself.
Okay.
But I have people that are helping me right now. So
nice.
Right now I have a couple of people going over it, and right now I can feel people just telling me you got a powerful healing story. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's a healing journey I started.
Yeah. Well, Junebug, man, our hour is over. I just want to let you know that I really appreciate talking with you, and I'm just inspired by your healing journey and your healing story, and I really look forward to reading your book. Thank you for being a guest, and maybe when the book comes out, you can come back.
Yeah,
on
that
the
sounds
show.
Good.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM Minneapolis St. Paul. Online and archived at kfai.org. The community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi Wee to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, on today's show, we're going to have Arvina Martin on, our friend Arvina Martin, and also Ruth Anna Buffalo on later today. But before I have Arvina Martin on, I want to just say a big peeny geeky to all the listeners who dropped by Native Roots Trading Post and made it another successful state fair extravaganza. And my family really appreciates you stopping by and saying hello. You listen to the show. And it just was amazing, and I just want to send out a really big peeny geeky thank you so much, and really makes me happy, one, to see all the people that listen to the show, but also your support for our family, and it's really appreciated. Hey, right now I want to bring on Arvina Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin. And Arvina, welcome, and boy, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, yes, there is a lot going on. I am glad I have the week off from work to be able to process all of it.
Well, Arvina, first, I want to give a big shout out too. I was at Black River Falls and our powwow happened, and it was just great to see all our relatives out there, and always makes me feel really good in my heart. Did you, were you able to make it out there?
No, I had major FOMO looking at all of the social media being posted from there. It looked like, I mean, the weather was perfect. There were lots of dancers. There were, you know, I had friends and relatives that, you know, were posting about their kids dancing for the first time, deciding to come join the powwow circle. You know, it looked like they were great vendors. I was super bummed to miss both a snake dance and a green corn dance. I am a sucker for both of those. And I, unfortunately, my back injury was acting up, and sitting in the car to drive up to Black River was just not a good idea. So I stayed home and pouted.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was interesting. I didn't make this part. I was only out there for a few hours, but and I wanted to say hi. And one of the things is I saw some of our political friends out there, and we're going to have to get them on the show. And one of them for sure is the lady that's running for Supreme Court. We're really going to connect with her. Maybe we can have her on the same day you're on, and we can really support her.
Yes. She's currently a judge here in Dane County, Chris Taylor. Mm-hmm. She's also a former state representative. And mm-hmm. I got to know her while she was serving in the Wisconsin State Assembly. She is fierce. She is smart. She does the work, and I think she will be a fabulous addition onto the state Supreme Court. Actually, several years ago, she, while she was in the state assembly, called for an MMIW task force to be created, and her legislation unfortunately went nowhere because she's a Democrat, and everything at the time was Republican. Majority. We have since had the Attorney General start a task force on MMIR now, and you know, I'm grateful for now she was then Representative Taylor's efforts to bring more eyes and research into the dangers and the violence faced by so many Indigenous people, especially women and children.
Absolutely. I'm always proud, Arvina, that I can say Proto Sewich, and she was on our show just prior to that election, and I always say that Native Roots Radio helped her put over the top. So, but I always want to show off and say Proto Sewich.
Yeah, well, you can show off and say Taylor, too.
Yeah, that's right. You know me, I have trouble remembering or pronouncing Wendy's name correctly half the time. Hey, one thing I want to get to before we get really deep is just to give a shout-out to Graham Greene, who passed away. 73 years old. Us Native men don't live that long, and he really blew up during Dancing with, I always like to call it Dancing with Kevin Costner, but Dancing with the Wolves.
Yeah, yeah. He played, I believe, Kicking Bird and got an Oscar nomination for that role. You know, I was happy. I'm really happy that he got another chance to make an impact in like American pop culture with his role on Reservation Dogs. And, you know, when I found out or yesterday after learning of his passing, you know, I had several of my non-Native friends text me saying, oh no, Graham Greene died. And I'm pretty sure that they knew who he was because of the show Reservation Dogs and seeing that. So, you know, I'm grateful that he had an opportunity to share his talent, and his role as Maximus was such a great role. And there was so much emotion in the part he played, and he did it so well. You know, he's going to be missed. He's already missed, and we will absolutely continue to miss him. I do believe he's got another role in a movie that is yet to be released. I can't remember the name of it, but we should be seeing one more appearance from him, which will be nice. It's nice to know that there's one more for us to enjoy.
Right. It's interesting too. He was on the Green Mile, and one of my favorites, Thunderheart, And there's just so many mainstream movies he was in, not quote-unquote native movies. And what a long career. And our hearts and our good thoughts are to his family and a great memory. And, again, yeah, it was fun seeing him on Reservation Dogs with all those icons, really, at the end. And that show was really made to me special when they really gave a shout out to the people that kind of led the way, like him.
Yeah, I, you know, the him and Wes Studi and Gary Farmer kind of, you know, they got a chance to play roles that were not just them being stoic native warriors, you know, that it was like Wes Studi was hilarious, you know, all of his jokes and trying to get copper, and you know, they were able, after these storied careers, able to play roles that have backstories that are more than just the two-dimensional, you know, caricatures that we see. You know, they were thought out, and what a gift to be able. It really was like a cross-generational moment. You know, they got to play these roles that were probably, you know, really fun for them to play, but they also got to interact with the kids. Yeah. And, you know, what an experience for them, you know, the young actors at the beginning of their careers, getting to see these, you know, pillars from our community and being able to work with them professionally, you know, what an opportunity.
Yeah. Ajawak, who was in, I believe it was called Iron Horse, the hockey movie. He was, getting makeup one day and, the actor that played in Smoke Signals was right next to him getting his makeup on, and he was just blown away. And so that is really kind of, I agree with that 100%. Also, too, I want to give a shout out to Brownie, Uncle Brownie. That was a great character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was hilarious. And I remember after I graduated college, I made a trip to school for the Dartmouth Powwow, and he was there. And so we got to visit with him, and I got pictures with him, and it was really cool. He's a fabulous guy.
Hey, we're here. It's Arvina Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, and we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find. To those that turn away the so-called non-accepted. To those that bring us together. And to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people. To those that give up and those who do not care. To those who abuse themselves and others. And those who revive again. To those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio, and we are talking to our friend, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, Arvina Martin. And Arvina, a lot going on as we talked. That segment just flew by. I don't know if you're familiar, but there's a legal action by our tribe, Ho-Chunk Nation, about this online platform gaming. It's an issue. And I know when I was legislator for Ho-Chunk, we heard a lot of a lot of things that were happening in Wisconsin when it came to the bar industry and how they have more slots and illegally, and nobody's doing anything about it. So just a shout out to the president and the legal people of Ho-Chunk Nation for putting this out, making it live for people to see.
Yeah, I've been trying to learn more about, you know, the specific issue. It's not one that I'm like super familiar with, but I, you know, when I saw the release announcing that the nation was going to be taking this action, I was really happy because it is a defense of our sovereignty, and making sure that we as a nation are protecting that is so important. And you know, a lot of people will say, well, it's the money, you know, you don't want to be the only ones that can, you know, make money at this kind of thing. You know, there is obviously an economic side to it, but it is a question of sovereignty and protecting the very political existence of our nation. I'm glad that we have folks working on it, and I am, you know, nervously awaiting seeing how this goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, a big shout out. And it's good to see that our government and our sovereign government is on its toes as usual. And again, I'm a big fan of the president of Ho-Chunk Nation, John Greendeer.
Even though
every once in a while in meetings, he'd call me Paul Fox instead of Robert Pilot. But I just would say, we look so much alike. No.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, he'd laugh about that one. I don't know if we want to talk about this now, but I really want to talk about either now or next segment. It's back to school, and I know for public schools, and I know it's a nervous time of year, especially what's happened and what has happened in our community for so many years nationwide, and I know you, I believe you still have a young one that's still going to school.
Yes, my daughter is a junior in high school this year. She is living with her dad in Green Bay and attends school there and is, you know, right back in the swing of things. And, you know, they started a couple of weeks ago, her school did. And she goes to a Catholic school. So I was, you know, really taken aback when I heard that that the shooting last week had taken place during Mass for students. It was easier for me to relate because that is something that my daughter then has to do for her school. And it just, I mean, we should be able to trust that our kids can be safe at school. And not being able to do that is so nerve-wracking and takes so much out of you as a parent to be worrying about your child's physical safety like that. And to the point where previously there had been talks of like at schools here in Madison, you know, do we want to ban cell phones from the classroom? And I was like, absolutely not, because, you know, when these emergencies happen, when these shootings happen, you know, a lot of times it's the kids calling in on the cell phones, or somebody calling 911, or, you know, being able to call their parents or something. You know, I just wouldn't want that that avenue to be closed for folks. It's just so terrifying.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? That's a really good point, because I think I've been an advocate for no cell phones, but with what's happening now, you know, in the safety of our children, that's a really good point. I wonder if there's any way that the teacher could, like, collect them at the door and still have them available, in a sense, but things happen so fast, I don't know if that would even work under the circumstance of what you're talking about.
Absolutely. I mean, maybe just making sure everybody, you know, the phones are put away, they're not on a desk, they've got to be zipped up in your backpack, I mean, provided you're allowed to bring backpacks into your classroom. But, you know, it's wild to me that we would think about something like that and, you know, not think about gun control. It just boggles the mind.
It totally does. And I know we had a pretty emotional show last time you were on with you and Dr. Stately, and I appreciate your honesty. And I know people listening have commented about that show specifically. So it's a hard, hard discussion, but this one discussion that we all should be on the same page of is no gun laws. And the Walls here in Minnesota is calling a special session on the gun laws. And so that just came up an hour or so ago, Arvina. And I just hope it doesn't backfire on him, because the way things are happening here in Minnesota right now, I believe the Republicans, because of what's happened, has an advantage now, a one vote advantage here in Minnesota, because of people being convicted of breaking in and entering into their stepmother's house and things like that that's happening, and also shooting deaths. And so it may be precarious, but it definitely, you need to put people on record, I believe.
Absolutely. I mean, now is the time to be strong in your defense and support of sensible gun laws, of background checks, of you know, waiting periods, and again, knowing that solving violence is never going to be a one policy and poof, it's done. And I mean, we can tie this to Trump today saying that he's going to send troops to Chicago, you know, talking about, well, we've decreased violence in Washington, D.C. Well, yeah, if you've got a bunch of military people out, you know, wandering, that will deter people in the short term. But there are so many systemic issues that lead to violence that are being ignored, and that the Trump administration has canceled funding for, you know, things like education, things like providing food, you know, for people that need access to either cheaper or free food, people that need housing, you know, all of those things that people on the other side of the political spectrum are like, well, those are just handouts. I'm like, those are things that should be part of our social safety net, so that when things get bad, you know, there are options, and one does not have to resort to violence or to, you know, guns, resort to drugs, etc. You know, these things are all a big part of, you know, root causes for violence in our communities. And it's clear that the Trump administration doesn't actually care about that kind of stuff. Otherwise, they wouldn't have cut so much, you know, access to Medicaid, access to mental health, and all of the things that were cut. And, you know, they're just trying to set us up now to live in a state of heightened violence where instead of law enforcement, we have military personnel who are not trained for law enforcement to come in and serve in that role as law enforcement. It's setting us up for something larger where he can take things over instead of actually it's under the guise of making things safer.
You know, Arvina, we have the GOP whip Representative Emmer here out of Minnesota was saying that there shouldn't have been a shooting. This person should not have had an opportunity to have guns. But yet he voted against mental health in schools. And these Republicans take. Yeah, let's talk about it next segment. It's just sickening that these Republicans take advantage of a situation which they voted against and acted as if they voted for it, and hoping that people don't pay attention, especially the MAGA people that support them. So, hey, we were with our friend Arvina Martin, and CEO of Emerge Wisconsin. We got a few things to talk about, but also get an update of Emerge Wisconsin. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
The Science Museum of Minnesota creates spaces where curiosity thrives. Through exhibits, research, and hands-on learning, the museum connects people with science and new ideas. Learn more at smm.org/mission.
Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting Bernadette Spray and Friends, Wednesday, September 10th. Twin Cities vocalist Bernadette Spray brings her jazz style and scat sensibilities to the Cedar with Omar Abdul-Karim on horn, Ben Ehrlich on drums, Kavyesh Kavraj on piano, and Graydon Peterson on bass for this special benefit concert. All proceeds from the show will go to support Open Cities Health Center. More information about Bernadette Spray and Friends benefit show for Open Cities Health Center is available at thecedar.org.
This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Native Roots Radio. Here we are with the CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, our friend Arvina Martin, and we're just talking over a lot of things that matter to us and to our community, and I really appreciate you and coming on and talking. A lot of people, we are on the civic media in Wisconsin, and a lot of people are listening to you, Arvina. I've getting people stopping me at powwows and state fairs and saying, what a great show and what great guests you have.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad to be a part of it, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit again about this Illinois and the governor of Illinois not calling the president Trump and telling him straight out that we don't need federal people coming in here, and especially sneaking in ICE people along with these National Guard people is a big thing and a big threat to Illinois and or Chicago specifically.
Yeah, I actually got to see part of the press conference today that was held with the with Governor Pritzker, with the mayor of Chicago, and with the county executive of Cook County, Illinois. And you know, they had a lot of really great things to say, mainly that, you know, solving violence in Chicago is not an enforcement issue, you know, because you still have guns streaming in from places like Indiana, which is a red state, and, you know, home of the previous vice president under Trump. But, you know, saying that they would love assistance from the federal government, but that assistance should not be troops, that it should be money that has, you know, is supposed to be going to Illinois, to Chicago, because that's what their taxes are for. And the money is not being sent to them, or the programs are being cut. And then, you know, Trump basically making local officials kiss the ring before they can get access to funding. I mean, we in Wisconsin are still waiting for a declaration of emergency for the flooding that happened several weeks ago in Milwaukee that has, at least at last time I checked, had not yet come. Yet J.D. Vance was here last week and was talking about, oh, well, Milwaukee's full of crime. Shouldn't we send troops there? Like, trying to get people at his appearance on the other side of the state. I think it was I think he was in La Crosse, getting folks riled up about that. And, you know, that's not how this is supposed to work. And, you know, when you have people at different levels of government that are antagonizing the other levels, you know, you're never going to be able to get the results that you want, because an issue like crime has so many causes, and there are so many things that affect crime, or, you know, affect folks that either go into crime or who are victims of crimes. And you can't just put police everywhere, or you can't just put military pretending to be police everywhere. And people like ICE with masks and, you know, no IDs, just stealing people off of the street. It's not a real solution. It's not serious. I mean, in the sense that it's not something that's going to actually help the situation long term. It merely, you know, at best, we'll put a Band-Aid on it, and then things will go back to the way they were, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, being 64 years old and seeing at the Minnesota State Fair, for instance, a lot of... people, one, that don't look like they're police because of the shagginess and the long hair and the beards, but walking around with M16s and assault rifles at the fair was unbelievable for me. Usually I go out the back way because we have a store and we pay for parking, but we went out the front gate one day, and Wendy and I were not only appalled but amazed that, you know, this slow integration of military police at everything, not just big riots or whatever, but to everything.
I mean, it's just another way to overwhelm us, you know, much like a new executive order coming out that is heinous every day, and all of us reacting and being so drained by it that by the time they get to the thing they really want to do, we don't have the fight in us. Right. They're doing the same thing with these guns. I mean, seeing people with and did you say an M16?
Well, maybe they're definitely have the clip in there. I'm not. It looked like an M16, but maybe they're the AR-15s.
I mean, seeing people with big guns does not make me feel safer.
No.
It's scary. And I, you know, again, they're just trying to desensitize us to this and make it normal, so that when he tries to take over cities, that it's easier and people won't fight as hard. Because they're used to it. And we have to remember that throughout all of this, no matter how long, this is not normal. This is not okay. And this is not how a democratic nation is supposed to function. And, you know, I think we get so caught up in everything. Again, like I've said countless times, is you know, it is important to take care of ourselves and our own peace of mind during times like this, so that these, you know, executive orders, seeing people with big guns at seemingly innocuous events, you know, we should just always know that that's something out of the ordinary, and still react to it. But we should take time away so we don't, you know, that kind of news and that those sites and everything don't just sit and weigh on us all the time. I mean, it's a very fine line between paying attention and fighting and being able to take care of yourself.
Wow. God, good point. Before we get into Emerge Wisconsin, I just want to give a shout out that the Minnesota Reformer put out a great article about Lieutenant Governor Flanagan as she steps out on her own in the Senate race. And big supporter here of Peggy Flanagan. We play a bumper for her, too, now. And she's been on the show many, many times. But I think the rank-and-file Democrats are thirsting for leaders who will fight rather than fold in the face of Trump. And I think Lieutenant Governor Flanagan is one of those people.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she's tough as nails. I mean, Native woman, of course she is. But she's also, you know, has kind of a more, she's got a side that can handle the nuance of a situation, and she knows how to react and how to demonstrate strength and care to her constituents in a way that does feel like there's an adult in the room. I remember seeing a video of one of her press conferences, or a press conference during all of the protests that were happening during the George Floyd situation. And I hate just calling it a situation, but her response was so thoughtful and so caring that, like, I saved the speech on YouTube, and I like to show it to people that especially in Emerge, when we do various public speaking trainings, you know, here's an example of someone in an extremely volatile situation that is, you know, trying to provide leadership and trying to show that the leadership cares and is not trying to just throw law enforcement around, that they're trying to make the situation better for, and listening to those who are aggrieved. And it was just such a, powerful statement that, you know, I still have it saved years later.
That's awesome. And that's a good segue to Emerge. And I talked to a person that has not said that he's running yet for Senate, and really has a lot to say about, good things to say about you and Emerge. And let's talk a little bit about that and about Emerge Wisconsin, and get people out there riled up and signing up, because that's what we need.
Yeah, so we are an organization, Emerge Wisconsin, that trains Democratic women and non-binary folks who feel comfortable in female-centered spaces on how to run for office. And we provide over 70 hours of training on everything from fundraising calls to hosting events to practicing your stump speech to finding your win number. You know, we have a rate of success in the last year of over 90%. So 90% of our alumna won the races that they ran for. And we just yesterday opened up our applications for the class of 2026. So folks in Wisconsin who are listening, if you're a woman or non-binary and feel comfortable in female-centered spaces, please take a look at our application. You can go to wi.emergeamerica.org. And there we have links to our application there. You know, we need everybody. Like we've said, this resistance takes a lot of people. Sometimes people need breaks, and we need to bring more people in to be part of this movement, to be part of this resistance. And running for office is one of those ways. Being able to help make decisions on the local level. You might not think that being on the school board is a way to fight against Trump, but it surely is. And being able to represent your community is really a great honor. And being able to, or being trusted to, like, make decisions that affect your community is a really great honor. And we need Native people's perspectives at every level of government. Our tribes need tribal members in city councils, in county boards, and in state legislatures that know what tribal sovereignty is and know how to work with tribes. Our Native students need more Native parents and more Native students and more Native educators on school boards so that, you know, their communities are learning appropriate information. Our voices are important, and if you've been thinking about running for a local office or any office, now's the time to start thinking about it. Next year is an election year.
Right on. Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin, and our friend, our Ho-Chunk sister, and our updates in Wisconsin are just fabulous, and I really, really appreciate you coming on and talking to our listening audience each week.
Thank you so much for having me. I love being here.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next, Ruth Anna Buffalo, and we're going to talk about what's happening at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. Ho-wa. Thank you, Arvina.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are with our friend, Ruth Anna Buffalo of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. Ruth Anna, thank you so much for coming on, as always, and I hope you had a good break.
Yeah, Matsukidats, hello, Dosha, good to see you, and yes, had a very good break. How about you?
Pretty good. You know, we were at the fair and doing the fair stuff because we got a booth out there. But, yeah, and then either that or watching the grandbaby. So I'm still tired.
Yeah, for sure. We have, you know, our dogs kind of have, they're kind of on our weekday schedule. And so when you want to sleep in on weekdays or weekends, we have our Boston Terrier, like, shaking really loud to like get up, it's time to feed me, you know. So
oh my gosh, we love them, they're family, but sometimes, you know, they're on their own schedule for sure. And yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I have to get up, I think, at 2:35 every night too, just to let the dog out because she wants to go out.
yeah, really, they're almost like children, you know, like our fur babies, you know, they're communicating in their own way. And yeah,
definitely. So is that a ribbon skirt or is that a ribbon chair that you have?
Yeah, it's a ribbon skirt. Just trying to get in the habit of leaving one in the office. And it's a MIWRC ribbon skirt that was made for all of the staff here at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And it was made by a very talented young lady. Local lady, local artist.
Right on. Well, hey, let's talk a little bit about, you know, for some of our new listeners, maybe a little of the history of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and also what you guys are up to and what services you have. I just love bringing you in and talking about the great work that you and the people working at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center does.
Thank you so much. We're very appreciative to, you know, be able to continue serving the community and to share some of the good work that's happening here. We are located at 2300 15th Avenue South in the East Phillips neighborhood and Ventura Village neighborhood. And we just opened our newly renovated tenant units over the weekend. So we had six individuals sign leases Thursday and Friday, and many of them, of the new tenants, moved in over the weekend as early as this past Thursday. So we have 24 units total to get filled, and six are now filled, and we are on target in meeting our deadlines and things. So we're super excited. More to come for sure in getting things on the calendar to make sure that our tenants have the support they need and deserve, but definitely through a lot of community partnerships. And we're really thankful for our community members who have been assisting us throughout this process, because it's new to many of us, and we want to make sure we're doing our due diligence in continuing to help the relatives live longer and healthier lives.
Wow, that is big news. That snuck up on me. That's huge news, Ruth Anna. Wow.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've been planning, you know, all along within the short time that I've been here, but really there's been so many individuals who have been working on this process from, I believe, as early as 2019. And so it's finally coming to fruition, and big undertaking and responsibility for sure, but we're just super, super happy and proud to be a part of the process. And yeah, it kind of almost snuck up on us too, even though we had been planning. There was just some things, especially this past weekend, learning sort of trial and error of different things we gotta tighten up or look at, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. It's in the flow. So what else is going on there? And also to give a shout out to the website and how people can support and find out more information, if you don't mind.
Yes, miwrc.org, and that will connect you to like our LinkedIn, our Facebook page, and our Instagram page. And we have, you know, job announcements, job postings, event announcements there at our website. We try to make sure we keep all of our social media outlets consistent with what's posted on our website. And there's also an option on there to donate. We appreciate all of our longtime supporters. You know, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center has a great, great supportive donor base. And so we are super thankful. We are going to be launching a fundraising campaign soon. So, awesome. So yeah, we're also pretty excited to be partnering with different educational institutions too in the area that are gonna help us figure out like what's the best path forward in terms of our infrastructure and ways to improve upon our organizational structure, as well as the services that we provide to the community. And so we, as usual, have our weekly support groups for caregivers, Native survivors of violence. Also, we continue to have our Tuesday Resource Connect, where service providers are on site Tuesdays, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., which was today, and we provide a breakfast and lunch. And then we also have a breakfast offered on Monday, Thursday, Fridays from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and that is an extension or expansion of our drop-in center. Our drop-in center serves Native women and those that identify as women and are trans and Two-Spirit relatives, but there's definitely been a request to expand those services to men as well, or those that identify as men. So yeah, individuals can come in, get a shower, get a fresh pair of clothing, get connected to resources, and they can also rest in that drop-in center area. And we're working on expanding and getting another shower in there, because currently there's one shower. So yeah, lots of moving pieces. The new tenant units, and I don't want to mispronounce how you say it, but I can play a recording of how you say it, if that's okay, really quick.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, one
taking
second.
It out of my playbook. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no worries, I just gotta, okay, let's see, which, okay, here it is. Oops, can you hear me? Could you hear that?
Yes, sure could.
Yeah, is how it means like new path or new beginning, and that's what our top two floors are named after, or named.
Wow, that's beautiful. I also picture like a t-shirt for you guys, like a big circle with people in the circle doing the cakewalk, a sacred cakewalk.
Right. That's a good idea. That'd be a cool sticker too. Yeah. But yeah, there is to be announced, you know, a grand opening. And so we were looking at this month of September, but, some of the funders caught wind of it and wanted to be a part of the planning process. So we welcome that for sure. And so it looks like it may be October or November when we have a grand opening of the top two floors, newly renovated, and we'll have to give you a tour. They're really nice, spacious, have good views of the the skyline downtown, they say, and then all but one on the south side has a really good view, they said, you know. But yeah, they're really nice. They are separate from the bottom two floors that offices and programming services are located. So we are still on like the old HVAC system, but the top two floors are on their own system for central air and heating. And there's 20 of the units that will be going through coordinated entry. And then four are MIWRC referrals directly, but we still use the screening process of our third party management team, which is ShelterCorps. So.
Ruth Anna, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. Unbelievable what your organization does for the community. Unbelievable. Thank you so much for coming on. We got to get you for a couple segments and bring some more people in with you, maybe next week.
Okay, sounds good. Mads, good
thank, you so, thank you. Thank you. Hey, Native Roots Radio, we'll see you tomorrow.
Programming on KFAI is supported by the Bell Museum, celebrating the 6th annual statewide star party, September 18th through the 20th. The Bell Museum statewide star party spans more than two dozen sites around the state and includes activities for all ages on this year's theme, Aurora Voyage, Chasing the Northern Lights. Event details at bellmuseum.umn.edu.
Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're with our friend Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, talking about the State Fair and the Lieutenant Governor's, journey to win the Senate.
Historic journey.
Absolutely. Thanks. And thanks again, Robert. Hey, I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit and get a little deep here on what's going on Native American Community Development Institute. Today, Thursday, we had the market and I'm getting ready. I'm eating a whole bunch of different pickles because I was picked to be one of the judges with you about the pickle contest.
I love it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I think it's our fourth annual pickle off, we call it. It's a contest that promotes food preservation and food sovereignty awareness. But it's just a general, it kind of reminds me of a county fair contest where we have, I think this year we're having three categories. And and I've judged for every one of these 4 years. It's just a blast. You're going to love it. And one of the lead organizers, Cassandra Holmes, who works for Indian Health Board, just has this down. She runs it very professionally, and you get to taste some damn good pickles.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'll just sit next to you because I'll be a novice at this competition. There's so many different flavors of pickles.
There are. And you get a little, you know, that you have judge sheets and everything. I mean, it's easier than you'd think. So that is on September 25th.
Yes.
And so from 11 to 3 is the market. So stop on down to the Four Sisters Farmers Market. It's in the parking lot at NACD, or right outside of the Powwow Grounds coffee shop. And so it's NACD and Indian Health Board are the sponsors of it. And people just love it. I've been sending out the reminder to people, non-Native people and Native people alike. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'll be there. People are bringing their pickles. And then people who were posting that they showed their pickles at the State Fair, maybe they didn't bring anything. I'm sending them the link. I'm like, well, bring them down here.
Right on. So how do you prepare? Would I drink a glass of almond milk beforehand or water or what do I do to prepare my tummy?
I would make sure you have water on hand because you taste a lot of pickles. And they've been doing some process improvements. The pickles themselves will already be sort of pre-diced and on little sticks for you. So you don't know, you're not digging your hands in pickle juice or anything like that. It's all also very well organized. And Minnesota Public Radio is going to have a presence there as well. And they did a great story about it last year. This year, they're bringing more of their community news team, and they're going to kind of make a big deal out of it.
Yeah. Do we make our own t-shirts, or are there t-shirts there? Do we draw a big pickle on the shirt?
I'm kind of a big deal. The one of the prizes last year, and I don't know what the prizes are, but there'll be giveaways and things as well, drawings. But one of them was a beautifully hand-painted t-shirt that had the theme of kind of a big deal.
Wow.
It was a one of a kind. And then one of the charming parts, and I don't want to get too graphic here, but the trophies, I don't know if you've seen the trophies.
Yeah.
They're pickle mounted vertically on top of a trophy stand.
Yeah.
Very humorous image.
Definitely. Hey, so we got things happening too at the gallery and things always happening at the powwow grounds. You know, one of the things that I enjoy is that things change up. I love going to the powwow grounds. I love going to anywhere on Franklin and stopping by and going in and checking out the art that's there, native art that's on the wall. And basically, I don't think anywhere else does as good a job as you guys do at your gallery.
You are so very kind. You know, our gallery is tiny in the grand in physical space, but it has outsized impact. And incredible international careers have been really fostered out of our little All My Relations Arts Gallery. We have a more emerging gallery wall within the Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop, a huge community gathering space. So there's always something interesting to see there. The new show at All My Relations Arts is opening on October 16th.
Yes.
We don't have a show up inside the gallery right now, but it's called Matrilineal Memory. And it should be really impressive. I've just seen some of the pieces. Michaela Schaefer, a Hopi artist, is being featured. And so encourage people there to come down and see that. And then another kind of cool thing, we just awarded our fourth Jim Denemy Memorial Scholarship Award.
Wow.
Yeah. And wow. Jim Denemy, folks might know, just a renowned contemporary artist, native, very humorous. He has shown in our gallery a number of times. His stuff is funny and critical. And he passed a few years ago. And his wife, his widow, Diane Wilson, who's a renowned author.
You're right.
Author, and she came to us at NAC, you know, All My Relations Arts, and asked if we wanted to partner on this memorial scholarship. And we were so honored to do so. And so we just awarded our fourth scholarship award, fourth annual. Tamara Apumat is her name, a native artist. And she is very excited to win. She's really committed to uplifting other native artists. She's self-taught, disciplinary, multidisciplinary. And Tamara had her first public showing in our gallery.
Wow.
It was this beautiful image of a silhouette in profile of a pregnant woman who then all this monarch butterfly kind of imagery incorporated into it. It was stunning.
Wow. And
that was the first time she ever showed her art publicly in a show, and it was the first piece that sold during that show. So it was just a nice stories like that come out of our gallery a lot. That it's a career journey, right? We're helping people in their careers.
Well, one of the people we talk about, we've talked about in the past, I should say, is Sandy Whitehawk's daughter that worked with you guys before. And she just put an unbelievable, I don't know, it's through the glass of elevators in this building at the University of Minnesota. I saw pictures of it and it just blew my mind. But that's an alumni of NACD.
Yes, she is. Deani Whitehawk, international artist now, but she used to be the director at All My Relations Arts. It's where she really laid the foundations for this brilliant career she's having, and she just pops up everywhere.
Yeah.
And in October 18th, she's opening a major show at the Walker Arts Center. Oh, wait, am I looking at the right one? Hold on. No, I'm not. She has a show called Love Language that's opening. Where is it?
Well, one of the things, I do believe that these designs were in the glass of a building at the University of Minnesota. Her daughter posted on Instagram. But that blew my mind, and that installation was just put up just recently, like a day ago.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.